Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the minister to Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in again each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We want to take this opportunity to invite you to a special series of lessons that will begin 1 week from today. On September the 23rd through the 28th, we are going to have a special series of lessons by Brother Phil Arnold of Louisville, Kentucky. This series is going to be gospel preaching every night and on regular times on Sunday. We meet on Sunday at 9:30 for Bible study, and then we have a preaching service at 10:20 and another at 6:30 on Sunday evening. And then Monday through Friday, we'll be meeting all week at 7 p.m. for Hear the Gospel Being Preached by Brother Arnold. We want nothing from you. There will be no money taken up. We don't want your money. We want you to come with an open Bible, an open mind, study and worship God with us, and let us allow you to show you the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we will do that by sharing the gospel with you. So we encourage you to come and be with us beginning next Lord's Day through that Friday, September 23rd through the 28th. Please come and be with us. We are examining the writings of the Apostle Peter, and we're in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we have been looking at the first 6 verses that we concluded last week. Before we move into verses 7 through 11, I want to reread verse number 6. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. We need to live according to God in the Spirit. We need to follow His precepts. We need to follow His commands. And our acceptance to the gospel has as its goal to live according to God. Now, when we do that, men of the world are not going to speak good of us. But those who are dead are those who are dead spiritually. There are those who are dead in sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. People who are dead in sin are not going to have a favorable accounting and a favorable impression of those who are striving to live for Christ. Why? Because you're exposing their lack of spirituality and their sin in their life by your righteous conduct, and so they're going to speak evil of you because that's not what's in their heart. But we must remember that we must have the will of God in our mind. And when we have the will of God in our mind, that mind glorifies Christ. Now, we want to conclude chapter 3 by looking at verses 7 through 11. Excuse me. We want to conclude this section of chapter 4 in being good stewards. In verse 7 it says, "But in the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things have fervent love one for another, for the love will cover a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards on the manifold wisdom of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so as the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, in verses 7 through 11, the Apostle Peter is instructing us that we must be ministers, and we do that by being good stewards. Good stewards. The thought of giving an account to God suggests the ideal of stewardship, because stewards have to give an account to their master. And as we could read in Luke chapter 16, 1 and 2, Titus 1 verse 7, and Hebrews 13 verse 17, there are situations where people are caretakers or managers of someone else's belongings or possession, and we must give an account of how we handled them. Sound mind. This ideal is to be in one's right mind, which contextually means humility as opposed to arrogance, as we can read in Romans 12 verse 3, or self-control as opposed to succumbing to lust, and in the direct context of its lust. We must not give in to the flesh, but we must live according to the Spirit. Sober into prayer. The point is, sober as opposed to intoxicated. Hence, it means to be temperate, dispassionate, and we need to always be on guard. Be alert, be watchful. Guard yourself from lust by prayer. Fervent in love. Peter repeats what he stated in chapter 1, verse 22, with about intensity and earnestness of love that eliminates indifference and unconcern. This love will overcome and eliminate many sins. We need to have a fervent, deep love one for another. We read that earlier in 1 Peter 1, verse 22, that we have unfeigned love of the brethren. It means it's genuine, it's real. And we must have this deep, abiding feeling for our brethren. We're told to love each other. That's a commandment from God, John 13, 34 and 35. And the Bible says if we don't love God's children, then we don't love Him. And so we must have this fervent desire to love God's people. It says to be hospitable without complaint. Literally, the lover of strangers. But reference to showing kindness to one another by greeting brethren in your home, supplying provisions of food and need without complaint. Actually, not to mutter in a low voice as though uttering words of discontent, to grumble or to murmur. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we want to. We want to share God's blessing. We want to be hospitable to others. That's a requirement God has given His children. And if we're going to have the mind of Christ, the mind that glorifies God, we're going to have to be hospitable in our dealings with our brethren and with our fellow man. Good stewards. Stewards were managers of another's estate or possession. But here, good steward describes the proper management of one's own life and the gifts as received by God's grace. We were bought with a price, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Christians have been purchased by the blood of Christ. Therefore, we belong to God. They must glorify God in their bodies by living an obedient life. Ministers, the essence of the kingdom as taught by Jesus to His disciples, is to find greatness in God's kingdom by ministering or serving others. God supplies the strength, and we serve. Speaking as the oracles of God. To speak as the oracles of God is to speak according to His word. One way Christians can minister according to the gift of God is always speaking the truth. Not speaking what's popular. Not speaking what men say the truth is. Not the flux and the change that men are always going through in changing their understanding of their duty to God and what God's word says. But we speak the oracles of God. That means the teachings of God, the sayings of God. We must have a book, a chapter, and a verse. We must follow His precepts, His ordinances, His command, and we must strive to live by those standards. Now, to glorify God, that is the goal. The goal of a Christian service, that in all things, God may be glorified through the gifts and the blessings that we've obtained by Jesus Christ. We're to use those blessings and those gifts in every way to glorify God. Suffering. As this text begins, we may have to suffer as Jesus did. Our task in resisting sin may at times be difficult. The life may occasionally seem to rob us of peace and joy. But our ultimate goal is to please and glorify God. That's our ultimate goal. Why? Because we must give an account to our Creator as stewards of the things that He has left us and blessed us with. Resolve. Resolve, therefore, to grow in Christ, to forsake the lust of the flesh, to develop talents that God supplies us, and to minister and serve as stewards of the grace of God, that the mind and attitude of Jesus would become a bondservant to accomplish God's will in their life. It is God's desire and it is His purpose that we exemplify Him, that we point men to Him, that we do things in a way that shows we belong to Him, and that we're going to strive to be like Him in our thinking, in our actions, in our speech. In every way, we're going to pattern our lives after the teaching of Christ. We're going to do things in a way that's going to glorify God because we live according to His standard, we live His pattern in our lives, and we strive to have this close-knit relationship as God's people to demonstrate that we belong to Him. Please read John 17:20-21. One of the last things that Jesus prayed for before he went to the cross is unity. He wanted unity. How are we going to have unity? We're going to have to be one like in Christ. We're going to have the same mind that he has. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that by following his will, by doing it his way, and not interjecting our whims and our desires and our thinking to replace his. We're going to allow him to lead. We're going to follow. He's the master. We're the servant. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to strive to live this godly, upright life. And when we do that, what it does is it exemplifies to those who watch that we have the mind of Christ. Christians suffer for us in the flesh. Arm yourself with this same mind. We're going to suffer as God's people. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us that very plainly. If we're going to live godly, we're going to suffer. But we need not to get enamored that suffering is not worthy of what we have been called to do. It's going to reap an eternal benefit if we remain faithful and steady in the course and follow through with what God would have us to do. Understand, in these first 11 verses, the Apostle Peter is telling that Christian suffering can have a higher purpose. It can have a higher goal. It can help us to understand, even when men speak evil of us, we are trying to help them. We are striving to show them the way to God. We are striving to help them get closer to God, even though they don't understand, even though they don't comprehend, and even though they may misjudge us, and they may be misinformed, and they may charge us with sin and evil. When we consistently follow the teachings of Christ, and we consistently put his mind in our mind, we're going to put them to shame, because there's not going to be any evil there to find. There's not going to be any ungodliness there. There's not going to be any worldly lust. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. If we're going to be effective as God's people in this world, if we're going to help lead others to Christ, then we can't live, talk, and act like the world. It's just not compatible with Christianity. You're not going to lead somebody out of the darkness of sin by walking in the paths of sin with them. You're not going to lead them to Christ if you're living for the devil. And you're not going to be good stewards of God's blessings if you don't put the mind of Christ in your mind. And to exemplify that to those who watch us and see us on an everyday basis. And so in these first 11 verses of 1 Peter chapter 4, he is encouraging us that we have lived enough time in living in sin. And sin is living a life without God. We have to rise above that. And when you become a Christian, you have a different standard. You have a different pattern. You have a different mindset. And you must follow that mindset and that pattern that will lead you to Christ. And if we do anything less, then we're not good stewards. And we're not exemplifying the will of God in our mind, and we're not having the mind of Christ because we're not living it in our lives. What about it, dear listener? Does your life glorify God? Do you have the mind of God in your heart? And are you exemplifying that to people who see you on an everyday basis? Let us arm ourselves with the mind of Christ by being obedient to Christ and showing his glory by our obedience. Thank you.